And we want to keep the market discussion going here. And we're going to bring in Tom Essay of the Sevens Report. He is a research founder there. And Tom, let me just get your assessment of what's going on with some of these retailers, because the stock moves are just incredible to the downside in some of these gaps. Down 22%, Nordstrom's down almost 30%. These guys cannot stock their shelves.
Yeah, absolutely, Jared. Thank you very much for having me on. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. You were spot on. It is a tale of the haves and the have-nots. And there were definitely more haves last week and more have-nots this week. And it's all about how well they're managing their supply chain. And that has two facets to it. It's number one, can they get product to meet still surging demand? And number two, can they maintain margins? And really, that's the key, right? Because so far, retailers, broadly speaking, have been able to maintain their margins despite, you know, very high inflation. There are some cracks appearing in that now. And for those companies that can't, boy, are they getting punished.
And Tom, we've seen them getting punished, Gap and Nordstrom, both in the session today. But, you know, Jared and I were having this discussion earlier about whether, in fact, it's enough to call for, you know, somebody like Gap saying, look, we're going to make things up in Q4 when the shopping's already begun. It feels like consumers are getting out earlier. They're spending earlier. A lot of that demand's already been pulled forward. Where does that leave somebody like Gap or Nordstrom?
Well, it leaves them in trouble, right? Which is why we're seeing the sort of violent moves today. Down 30% in one day seems a bit extreme. That's probably being exacerbated by the fact that it's a Wednesday before Thanksgiving. But even so, I think that you're both absolutely right. I mean, what have we all been hearing for the last 2 months? Buy all your stuff early. There's not going to be enough. If you want something, get it early and, you know, hide it from your kids for a couple months. So that's what people are doing. So demand has certainly been pulled forward. I think really in regards to Nordstrom and especially Gap, a lot of their price points are lower, right? That's how they're bringing in customers. So what are they going to do when you have such tremendous cost inflation and you can't really pass on those costs because your shtick is essentially, hey, you know, we have lower priced, more affordable items. I think that it's a problem for some of these retailers. And I wouldn't be shocked if we see more of this happening in 2022.
Tom, I'm looking at the U.S. dollar index on our Wi-Fi Interactive, up 4.25% over the last 3 months. Doesn't sound like a big number, but in currency terms, that's a huge, huge deal. And I'm going to put on a 20-year chart just so we can see exactly where we are. Looks like the dollar's kind of been trending sideways for most of this time, but it has huge implications when we see a surging dollar for multinationals, for emerging markets, for just about everybody, not the least of which is crypto. I'm just wondering what you're thinking and taking stock of when you see the U.S. dollar surging the way it is.
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. 4% in a currency like the dollar is enormous over 3 months. And if you look at a chart and you just have one up, I mean, it's really almost kind of parabolic, really, the last couple of weeks. And what's been happening is currency markets have essentially started to view the Fed as the most hawkish of the major central banks, talking about the ECB, the Bank of Japan, and to a lesser degree, the Bank of England. And essentially, you know, currencies are trading a lot like most other assets right now. They're sloshing around because there's so much liquidity. 20 years ago, we'd never see a 4% move in a currency unless there was some sort of existential crisis in a couple months. But it's just sort of normal now. So is the dollar a rally probably stretched? Absolutely. But until we get dovish commentary from the Fed, which we're getting the opposite, it's not going to stop. And that's also going to pressure earnings as we get into 2022.
I mean, currency traders may see the Fed as hawkish, but we had a guest on earlier, Tom, who said, look, the Fed's been behind the ball for a while now, especially given how hot inflation has run up. Do you agree with that assessment?
I do. I appreciate that if from an economist standpoint, from an academic standpoint, there are things in inflation reports that are certainly pandemic driven. And that whenever the supply chain fixes itself, which I thought it was already supposed to be fixed, and it seems to be getting worse, certainly some of those deflationary price pressures will reemerge. But in the meantime, we can't deny that there is more money pushing finite number of goods, and that is the definition of inflation. And I think, look, inflation's not going to stay at 4% year over year like we saw this morning in the core PCE price index. But it is going to settle in much higher than I think the 2% we're used to. I think probably a 3% is a decent number for everybody to get used to. And that has implications on investment, certainly.
And Tom, I like to think ahead here. So I'm going to ask you a question I've asked several guests. What does the next recession look like? Because there seems to be a consensus, a growing consensus, that the Fed is behind the eight ball. And if that's the case, they're probably going to have to hike more aggressively in the future. And that could leave a lot of people and a lot of companies just standing around wondering where their next liquidity dose is going to come from, because recessions tend to wipe out malinvestment. So I'm just wondering what your views are on how this eventually evolves.
So we did a piece in the Sevens Report a few weeks ago where we talked about how this ultimately ends. And what we said and what we still believe is that it ends the same way all economic expansion ends. The Fed will kill it by raising rates. Mm. Now, I think we're at least several quarters from that. I mean, if you think about it, we're still doing QE, right? Which, if you really look at just the economic data and you think, oh my God, we're doing more QE this month than we ever did at any point of the financial crisis or even thereafter, it's sort of shocking to think about that. So the Fed is by no means, you know, hawkish, to Kiko's point. But at the same time, there's also a lot of excess built into this system right now. And it's not, you know, not maybe specifically in stocks, but there's certainly sectors that have excess in them. And eventually the Fed will kill it. The next recession, I believe, will look ugly, because we've all gotten very used to very low rates and QE. And when that goes away, I think it could be painful. Hopefully it's several quarters away at least.
Well, Tom, I appreciate you making time for us during this holiday week. Thomas A. Sevens Report, research founder and president. Have a good Thanksgiving.